The reading for today from the Word of God will be from Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 19. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 19. This is the Word of the Lord. Hear the Word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish. And also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priest. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not multiply, because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains, and burn offering on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters play the whore, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go aside with prostitutes, and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin. Though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Avon, and swear not, as the Lord lives. Like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly gracious Father, we pray, Lord, that you would use these lips this morning to speak your oracles of truth, to guard our hearts and our minds to be on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No longer conformed to the image of this world, but rather as the transformation of you who have changed us from darkness to light, to now walk in your ways, in order that we may see you more clearly in the hope that you have given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that we were once in darkness, we were once in this shame, that you would have love for us, to rescue us, even though we were deserving death. That this sacrifice that was made on the cross was made for you and I, in order that we may be reminded of where we were once, to now live by faith in the steadfast love and the faithfulness that you showed to us, though we were deserving death. We give you thanks in Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Sometimes, even the greatest among us succumb to their own desires, replacing God for a lie. When we allow the subtleties of this world to creep into our lives, we expose ourselves for a moment that could be our unraveling or our undoing. When undone, we are revealing ourselves to God, and in His timing, He will reveal our shame. For God, who says that He is a jealous God, will reveal sin's utter destruction, which will never satisfy us, and remind us of His steadfast love and faithfulness, though we were completely trapped. What better way than to tell you a story of someone who actually went through the whole process? King David. When God had given David the task of being prince over his people, David administered justice and equity to all of his people. God also gave David favor to defeat enemies all around that sought to destroy Israel by force to give them peace. Though David was seen to be a man of war, the king of Israel also showed kindness to his enemy when judgment was due. But a man who was after God's own heart became idle and abandoned the time when kings went out to battle to remain at home. It was in this time of idleness that David saw a beautiful woman who was bathing from his rooftop and inquired about her. His inquiry led to his demise. Knowing that the woman was already married, David committed adultery. His single act of sinful desire broke the Lord's commandment and started his downward spiral to sin again. Then Bathsheba fell pregnant, forcing David to bring her husband Uriah home, who was at war where David was meant to be. David's plan was for Uriah to lay with his wife so that he would not suspect that the child is born from whoredom. But Uriah refused to go back to his house while God and his fellow brothers were in arms at war. He believed that he did not deserve to have that pleasure while God and the rest of the men did either. But this made David sin again by sending Uriah back to the battlefield with instructions to Job concerning his death. David was successful, and Uriah was killed, making David a murderer and breaking God's commandment a second time. David continued in his downward spiral and took Uriah's wife, despite breaking God's commandments, and made her his own, all the while displeasing God. God would now reveal to David his sinful acts of destruction and bring David home. Bring David to shame. So God sent Nathan the prophet, who told David the story of the rich man and the poor man. There was a rich man who had many flocks of sheep. Then one day a traveler came to his door. But when the rich man decided to feed the traveler, the rich man in all of his abundance could not bring himself to sacrifice one of his sheep to feed him at all. But instead, this rich man kills his neighbor's only sheep, whom the poor man fed and looked after like one of his children, to feed the traveler that came to his door. When David heard the story, he was angry and said, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die." Nathan replied, "You are that man." God sent Nathan the prophet to speak to David and reveal his disobedience and how he despised the word of the Lord. The knowledge that was forsaken and replaced with his own evil desires by breaking the commandments of God. His sinful desires that led him to commit adultery and murder led him on a downward spiral of destruction and death. But the steadfast love and faithfulness he once had with Yahweh would now bring him to shame. God speaks to our conscience to reveal the shamefulness of certain mistakes we make. My people have cheated. My people have become the adulterer. My people seek other lovers when I am the only one who will love her like no other. The courtroom is now in session. The evidence is set, and now God will bring forth the charges that are before his people. There is no swearing in or witness required, for the Lord himself speaks. So, this is where we see Israel in the text before us. Let us begin by looking at what the Lord has to say to Israel. So grab your Bibles. We're starting right off in verse 1, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. Judgment has come for Israel. Yahweh has spoken to his people to reveal their sinful desires that has removed God from the land altogether. This is serious stuff for Israel. And now that they are exposed, they will find themselves guilty before God. As we saw in the last three chapters of Hosea and spoke of what will take place, now in this chapter, God has finally intervened and puts the focus on Israel to bring the matter to an end. God's people are found to be in violation of the stipulations of his covenant because God has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. But why? The integration of Israel with foreign people who now reside with him in the land. And this is where our first observation is, providence. Israel has lost their faithfulness, their steadfast knowledge, our steadfast love and knowledge of God, and replaced it with their sinful acts. Look at verse 2. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. God reminds Israel that they are to separate themselves from the inhabitants of the land, to act on behalf of the knowledge of God with his steadfast love and faithfulness, supporting them to drive them out. But how do we know this? By the commandment from God that was given to their ancestors many years beforehand. This was laid out in the Pentateuch, which was applicable to Israel then, as for us. This is found in the book of Numbers. So Numbers 33, verse 52. Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their figured stones and destroy all their metal images and demolish all their high places. Here is their commandment. To drive out the inhabitants of the land. This would remove all foreign idols and worship and their mythical beliefs. They represented the sinful world. But what is the result of refusing to drive out the inhabitants of the land? Let's go down to verse 55. But if you do not drive out, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those of them who let remain shall be as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land where you dwell. And I will do to you as I thought to do to them. God had already warned Israel of the complications of integrating with the world around them. It is definitely trouble for Israel as we see why God warns Israel altogether. It is the result of sin which existed with the world that affects the people of God. His people, who once loved him, have now gone after foreign gods, making the world their lover. Making the world our lover also wrecks God's mandate for us. No longer will Israel subdue the land, nor have dominion, because the commandments of God are thrown out the door. This will have great impending consequences that will affect not only Israel, but even the land itself. So let's take a look at verse 3 and see how it affects the land. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Their act of disobedience to God by breaking his commandment has removed the mandate that was given to them. And now God brings shame upon his people. Eventually, the Israelites will be driven out of the land, just as God had intended upon the original inhabitants of the land. But for now, the land mourns because of it. My people have cheated. My people have become the adulterer. My people seek other lovers when I am the only one who will love her like no other. We too need to be wary of our calling. We are to be set apart, not seeking to the love of the world. We are not to make the world a lover, but rather remove ourselves from their devices altogether. To see this, we turn to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? We need to be careful with our children on how we counsel them. Parents, these young minds are like sponges, so we will not fill them with the filthy water that alludes to compromise, but rather keep their minds active upon the holiness of God. For what uncleanness will a holy God accept when we ourselves compromise our teaching? Young adults need to be patient that the Lord will provide. This provocative world is trying to grab your attention, young adults, and it is not a time to try before you buy attitude. Trust me when I tell you that when you save yourself for that man or woman of God and whom you will marry, it will only reveal the steadfast love and faithfulness you commit to the Lord and to your marriage by your patience that he will certainly provide. These young people in our church are to be nurtured providence, and we will continue to encourage them. But what is the outcome to the treachery of the sin that Israel has committed? The outcome is groaning and mourning, not peace and flourishing. Yahweh has focused and honed his attention to the cause of the controversy that began in verse 1 to now draw our attention to verse 4. So here's our second observation. The priests have rejected God, and because of that, the people are destroyed. But how? Let's go to verse 4. Yet let no one contend, and let no one accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. the indictments that Yahweh has placed upon the inhabitants of the land has now been squarely placed upon the priest of Israel. They are the ones who are to set the example of a godly life, who are also to teach the people for God. But if the priest was committing sins of omission, then the duty of the prophet was to expose them as a speaker for God. But instead, they both stumble by day, stumble by night. The priest is also the one who is responsible for bringing Israel to repentance for their sins but once a year, who has failed to fulfill all obligations and duties that are given by God to enter into his presence on behalf of the people. But instead, they have rejected knowledge. The very thing that will destroy God's people, the case that was placed upon Israel from the start of this court proceeding, their lack of knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore, God has rejected him from being a priest for forgetting the law of God that would have saved his people in the beginning. Instead, they are not fit to be a priest at all because of their sin of omission or failure to do what they should has now transferred his people to commit sins of commission or failure to do something they shouldn't, bringing lawlessness upon the land. These priests were also set apart from the other tribes to focus on God's law and to teach and help save his people from their sins. But instead, they destroyed his people. No longer will Yahweh allow his people to be led by this worldly priest. For that matter, no longer will their lineage carry on the role of priest either. My people have cheated. My people have become the adulterer. My people seek other lovers when I am the only one who will love her like no other. So what's the outcome? Now what? God will forget their children. For God will forget their children and cut off the source, the root cause of the matter, because we have gained the world as our priest. We have gained the world as our teachers. Israel has left true religion to practice their own success religion because they were receiving false guidance from their priest. This means that they are only interested in listening to what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And as we see in 2 Timothy, verse 3, he points this out clearly for us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So here's our application. Tickling our ears may bring immediate satisfaction. I hear what I want. But the fruit from this, the reaping from what I will sow, will not remain without collateral. Our children will be affected. Paul is warning us to remind ourselves that some will not like this sound teaching, but rather despise it. But for us, who humbly submit to it, we must work diligently to make the most of our opportunities to teach this sound doctrine that instructs us in godliness and reverence for Christ. But as we see in the text, the tickling of ears from the priest had started a domino effect that was unavoidable. Once they had crossed the line to give the people what they wanted instead of what they needed, they could no longer go back. So verse 7. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. And this is where it ends, Providence. This is our application. This is part of what we see, that God may be slow, but God will eventually fulfill his promises. Yahweh placed the priests in such a high position to teach what they needed to hear from God and helped to be the mediator between God and man. But not before they offered a sacrifice for their own sins, before the people of God's sins. They were also to teach and remind the children of God his steadfast love and faithfulness that was promised to them if they were to hold fast to Yahweh. Holding fast was walking in the teaching of God and living a life separate from the inhabitants that surrounded them. The inhabitants were normally to fear Israel, and Israel were to fear the Lord their God. But Israel's glory, or their glory of their sin, will become their shame. So here's our third observation. So verse 8. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priest. Meaning like father, like son, and vice versa. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore but not multiply, because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. You chase the world and foreign nations. You love the world that makes it better for you as your lover. You chase worldly preachers, but they will never satisfy you. Jeremiah 2 verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You reject the living water? You make for yourself cisterns to carry your own water? You make your own idols? That's exactly what they do. Verse 12. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. Israel could not escape. They had gone so deep and so far away from God and their sins that they were trapped in their own selfish desires. They even left Yahweh to play with foreign nations and to play around with their gods. Their playing around brought them temporal satisfaction that they even sacrificed to these idols. In verse 13, they sacrifice on the tops of the mountains and burn offerings on the hills under oak, poplar, and terebinth because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters play the whore and your brides commit adultery. Though Israel was on a one-way ride to destruction, and indeed deserved to be at an end, God will not leave his people. Rather, he will rescue them by bringing them to shame. Verse 18, when their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings. And they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Did you hear Providence? God will not leave his people, but rescue them by bringing them to shame. He has now wrapped them and prevented any further contact to this spirit of idolatry and revealed their sins towards them by bringing them to shame. Israel had always been a religious nation, but it was whom they held fast to that made the difference. God had reminded them of this and brought them to shame. So what do you do with that shame? What do you do with that guilt? It weighs us down like all the darkness of our sin, our crooked and perverse nature that is rightfully deserving death, like we see with Israel. But you see, God is calling them back by their shame. It is by Yahweh and Him alone that reveals our sin before us and brings us to open shame that we will come to repentance. Do you need to repent today? God has sent His Son to take that shame and that guilt. As God called a rebellious and idolatrous people out from their rejection of Him, away from their love of self, a love for things of this world, a love from teachers that tell them what they want to hear, God has called us in the same way. Out of the world and to Him by His Son, Jesus Christ. But once we have received the love of God by His taking away our shame and guilt, we are to walk in Him. But how? I'm glad you asked. For this, we turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, and I'm pretty sure that most of you know where we're leading now. I hope that your eyes will be enlightened to see why we learn these Bible verses. Because this is part of our application providence. Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. But God doesn't call us to an intellectual obedience or reverence, but a way of life, walking in Him. And by walking in Him, we should, verse 7, be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. This walk keeps us from chasing the world as our lover, away from an adulterous relationship with the world that will never satisfy. But it doesn't end there. That stability then keeps us from foreign priests and teachers. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And this is how we respond to the history of Israel. To Gomer, who was an adulterer to Hosea, and Israel, who was Gomer. This world, that we were once like this. Providence. Christ did reveal our shameful sin to bring us to repentance, transformed us into His image, in order that I conclude with this. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk, on those who walk, on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. There is only two citizenships here, Providence, and they are at war with one another. The citizenship of the world that feeds on their own selfish desire, and the citizenship from God, the one who abolishes our sinful lives to live in peace and harmony with one another as a reflection of Jesus Christ. The same Jesus that would never cease to teach His disciples, His children, the depth of His steadfast love and faithfulness, that would put to death our sins as He died on the cross for our lives, to rescue us from the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. We have been transformed, Providence, from darkness to light, no longer looking back, but rather being victorious over sin by the power that enables Jesus Christ to bring all things into His subjection. This transformation has now called us to be imitators of Christ, to now have others as Christ, to now have steadfast love and faithfulness towards others as Christ has shown that to us by rescuing His bride. My people have repented. My people have been restored. My people seek after Me, the only one who will love her like no other. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your steadfast love and faithfulness that is shown towards us by Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are no longer conformed to the image of this world, but rather the being conformed to Christ, in order that as we walk out these doors today, may we be reminded of where we once were, to now know we don't need to look behind us in order to be representatives of Jesus Christ. Because You first loved us. You first loved us with the love that looked past what we deserved. Father, for our old idolatrous lives, that we no longer look back to this world. We no longer integrate with the people of this world, for this world has their own destruction. But Father, we walk with the unison that You have called us by Your Son, Jesus Christ. We walk in this newness of life. Father, being rooted and built up, and giving thanks to You always, in Christ Jesus' name, amen.